Psalm 8. It's one of those psalms you can never read too often, isn't it? And I know it's been read there in the video, but I'm going to read it again. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I think if you ask people some of their favourite songs, many would say this one, wouldn't they? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As I look through this song after they gave it to me this week for this morning, I looked at it and read through it, and it's, as I said, we read it so often, and I discover, looking into it with more detail, that the purpose of this song is, in a sense, twofold. First of all, it is to acknowledge the glory of God and the majesty of his name. And secondly, it is to acknowledge the dignity or the position of man within all that God has created. Notice it says in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, and then it goes on to say, you have set your glory above the heavens. But there in verse 5 it says, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly being, speaking of man, and crowned him with glory and honor. This signifies to us that mankind, humanity, you, me, that we are the pivotal or the pinnacle peak of all creation. You know, if you go back to the Genesis account, day 1 through to day 2, 3, 4 and 5, it says that when God had completed his acts of creation on each of these days, he said that it was good. But on day 6, the day that he created mankind, God says it was very good. That to me signifies that the creation of mankind, and I use a phrase which is a modern phrase today, was the icing on the cake. From my standpoint as a man, human being, as I survey the heavens and the earth, and I see the sun, I see the moon, which I love to photograph regularly, and I was disappointed this last week that I couldn't photograph the super moon that appeared during the week. The video there is a video of the moon that I took about a year ago rising when we were in Middlesbrough. And there are times when you go out and it's a clear night and there's a full moon, and you can look up and you can see the massive stars everywhere. And we know what it's like. There are times when you can see Mars, or you can see Venus, or some of the other planets. And as you stood somewhere looking up into the heavens and seeing all of these created beings in the sky, it would be so easy to say, wow, this is creation at its best. Today we have modern methods of travel, and with restrictions aside, we can get to almost any part of the earth in no time at all. And so we could get onto some flight and we could go to see the Niagara Falls. We could go to see Mount Everest. We could go to the Amazon. We could go to the Grand Canyon. Sadly, I've never been to any of them, but I can imagine that if I could go to just one of these places that I've mentioned, and we could mention so many more, we would stand back And we would look at these things, Niagara Falls, Mount Everest. And as we look at these places within all their magnificence and all their beauty, we would say, wow, this is creation at its best. But then we could come closer to home. And you can go out, if you've got a garden, you could go out into your garden or out into the forests or the woodland, and you could look at the minutest of insects. Or you could look at the most delicate and the beautiful of flowers. Or you could look at the most spectacular of all of the birds or any of the magnificent animals that roam the earth and pick out one from each category and say, wow, this is creation at its best. But the one who created it all, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created the sky and its starry hosts, the one who created everything that grows or flows, that crawls or walks or flies upon the earth, he looks at mankind. He looks at you and he looks at me. And this is what he says. He says, wow, this is creation at its best. Let's read again what it says there in verses 4 to 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? It's a good question to ask. It's a justifiable question to ask. Looking at it all, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes along the paths of the sea. See, as much as everything is good that God has created, mankind is very good, especially we should say in his pre-fallen state. As much as everything is spectacular, mankind is special. As much as everything in the universe has its place, mankind is unique. And everything in the universe has purpose, but mankind has both purpose and potential. For God has placed mankind or ordained mankind to a position of authority, and purposed mankind to caretake, to have dominion, and to take responsibility over everything else that God had created. And what a position to be found in. What a place of honor. What a place to be entrusted in. And yet the sad news is that with all of that responsibility and all of that dominion over all that God had created, we come to that situation where we find that mankind blew it. Mankind lost his dignity and mankind lost his dominion. When Adam and Eve decided to listen to the devil rather than to obey the commandment of God, everything changed. But this is the good news. Thank God that although mankind blew it, God knew it would happen. And even before the creation of the world, with all of its beauty, God had planned a way to bring fallen humanity back to a place of position and purpose. And it was all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to Jesus, when we come to the cross, we find that the potential is restored. The position is restored and purpose is restored in our hearts. And God takes a fallen man and God takes a fallen woman and he restores dignity again so that that man and that woman, they become new creations. That's good news. Isn't that wonderful news? And if any man, any woman is in Christ, he has become a new creation. And God did this and has done it to so many. But God has done this to a man called Peter. And God has also done this to a woman called Edna. And in his purpose, God brought them together 62 years ago. and he has kept them together. And for the last 50 years or so, he has used them together here in this place. They have been used by God to bless many, to help so many, and by God's grace to minister to so many in so many ways over the years, to all that have come and remained or who have gone from this place here in Emmanuel Pentecostal Church. And as I did earlier in my message, I considered the sun, the moon, and the stars. I considered the wonder of the many places where we could go to. I considered the beauty of the various species where we could stand back and say, wow, isn't it amazing what God has created? But today, I want to fine-tune, or I want to focus right in on Peter and Edna and say, here are a couple who God created. But not only did God create them, we thank God that in Christ he recreated them. And because he recreated them, God has chosen them. And they're a couple whom God placed his hand of purpose upon, and of whom God has crowned with glory and honor. And we want to thank God for them. And we want to honor you. As Ian's already mentioned, we want to honor you for who you are and for what you have been in the plans and the purposes of God. We thank them for all that they've done in the purpose of God in this place, as they made themselves available in the service of God. Now, I'm probably the one that's known you for the shortest amount of time. I remember the occasion when I first met Peter in particular, because I was introduced to him. It was in July when I came up to the memorial service for Pastor John Yeoman, and Pastor Alec was at the back, and as I walked in, he pulled me over and introduced me to Peter. So it's less than 2 years. But I personally want to thank Peter and Edna for the way that you have helped me, the way that you've encouraged me right from day one, when I was beginning to be the name that was put forward to come to this place to take on the pastoral responsibility. And the planning and coming to speak for those 2 weekends, it was Peter that kept in touch with me and arranging everything. And when I came on the first occasion, welcomed me. I'll never forget the first little drive in the car. I had to meet at Peter's house, and I was going to meet the leadership team then at Ulf's house, and we jumped in the little car and we picked up Norman on the way. And I've got to be honest with you, I wondered where they were taking me. What was going on here? Am I in safe hands? As we began to go through the city of Newcastle and wander out, and eventually arrived at Ulf's place. But I was in safe hands, because I was in the hands of a man who God had used, and God was still using them. And since we arrived, he's blessed me and encouraged me, and Edna has blessed us, and Elaine as well, in so many different ways. So I want to thank you personally, even though I might have known you for the shortest amount of time. In that short space of time, you've inputted so much in my life, and I thank you. As I said, we all get the opportunity as we meet together, restriction free. We're looking forward to that day, not because it means we're going to see the back of you, but we're looking forward to that day when others can express appreciation to you for the way that you've ministered and blessed them over the time that you've been here in Emmanuel Pentecostal Church. Now, we're not going to expect you to respond at all today. We're going to leave that to that moment, because you want to save it all up for one big party. So what is man? What is man? It's a good question. What is man? Well, I believe that God sees this man and this woman, and today he says, well done. Well done. I believe that God wants to bless you as you step down from responsibility here, and as you settle in your new home. God's going to bless you. God will just strengthen you, and we pray that he will just renew you in every way, as you put off responsibility in a sense and enjoy some time together. But to close, and Ian's already said exactly the same, it's important to remember that this psalm is primarily all about the glory of God. It's all about the glory of God. And we know that Peter and Edna have served in such a way as they have done it for the glory of God. It's not for themselves. They've done it for God's glory. So I end this morning by saying this. All the glory goes to Him. We say thank you. But above all, we say thank you to Him for the gift that He gave the church, the ministries He gave you to minister in this church. And all the glory goes back to Him. And so we pray God's blessing on you in the future. The last song fits in with it because it is to God be the glory. Thank you. It went from me then.